So welcome to week two of Taking Care of Business, where I get the great opportunity to chat with small and medium businesses to discuss how they're getting creative with their businesses during this COVID-19 pandemic. My name is Mike Katz. I'm Executive Vice President for T-Mobile for Business. And today I have the great pleasure of being joined by David Schmidt, President of TPH Global Service Solutions. TPH Global Solutions is a 55-year-old family business, and David and his brother are second-generation owners. They specialize in packaging and displays for consumer product companies, and they work with some of the biggest retailers in the world, Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club, and many more. And their mission is to make it easy for companies to get their products to market in a really complicated retail world. So let's jump right into it. David, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to hear your guys' story. You've got a really great one. And I thought I'd start with, I mentioned all these incredible retailers that you guys work with. Obviously, during this pandemic, retail has been one of the categories or one of the industries that's been the most impacted. So how has this impact inside retail with COVID affected your business?
Well, Mike, thank you for having us on your platform. I'll tell you that in January, when the glimmers of COVID started hitting and we started seeing what was happening in China, we didn't expect anything like the shutdowns that they were experiencing. We never dreamed that that would happen in the United States. And so from being a thoughtful business owner, trying to look out into the future, saying, hey, we know what's going to happen, we're planning out, never saw this coming. So when it hit very fast. And the lockdown started happening, or the work from homes and the shutdowns of the various businesses started happening very fast. It was pretty all consuming. So what we saw in our business was a complete and total dislocation, if you will, of what our normal course of business was. Everything that we work on this time of year is for fall holiday season. For those big box stores, and all of that activity just shut down. Our customers were dispersed, the retailers, the buyers themselves were either furloughed or dispersed or working from home. Any kind of normalized activity was completely out the window, and it was very disruptive and very unsettling and very unclear as to where this was going, because nobody really had any clarity as far as, is this a month event? Is this a 3 month event? Is this 2021 are we looking at? So that's sort of the landscape of what we were looking at the time.
So, I mean, I've got a ton of questions for you about that, but one of the things I wanted to get to quickly, just so everybody could hear this amazing part of the story, is with all of those impacts in retail, with all those delays because of obviously the big holiday retail shopping season, you guys were really forced to change your entire business model. And I'd love for you to just talk about what those changes entailed, what you shifted your business from to, because it's really incredible.
Thank you. I had the benefit of being in the business during 9/11, and I'd been in the and through the Great Recession of 2008 through 2012, and I really took those lessons to heart and what we did well and what we did really poorly. And center to how we look at our businesses, one of the things we try to do is we try to hold everybody together and keep the families together, because that's the strength of this business as a family-run, family-owned business. And so you look out and you say, well, gee, what are our options? We can furlough everybody, not on our menu card. What can we do that is in our sphere? Well, all of retail was shut down. So it just happened that my brother and I had just come back from an out-of-town wedding. That Sunday, there was the flare-up of all the news media about PPE shortages, and it was everywhere. And the types of things that they were talking about were face shields, face masks, gowns, the real core products. Then Monday morning I woke up and I heard a report from Sanjay Gupta that 7 doctors in an Atlanta hospital had contracted COVID-19 And it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I've never had this experience before. And I put two and two together and said, hey, this is something I think we can do, and we can do pretty quickly. So I went from the kitchen to my wife's office. I took out a piece of paper. I sketched out a face shield and all the components, built a bill of materials, scanned it and sent it to my team. I got into the office. My designer had a design done for me. Now, we're all working from home at this point, so nobody's in the office. I come to the office because it's my sanctuary. And by the time I got in, I had all the manufactured components designed and laid out and specified. We pushed them out to our local manufacturing partners. By Wednesday, we had it costed, ready to go, and we started it. We put an order in for 400,000 units as a guess, not knowing who we were going to sell it to and how we were going to sell it. And then I just started making phone calls to people that I know in the medical community, and it very quickly became very apparent that the need was very real. The demand was exponential, and that no matter what we made, we were going to be able to do something with. And so that's how that pivot took place. Taking a step back, I had to think about, well, if what do we want to do? If we're going to do this, we try to be a strategic-driven business. We try to have a reason for doing things. And our goals were pretty simple. And my brother and I were very intent on keeping our families, both our immediate families, our the people who work for us. We have young parents. We have mature parents. We have grandparents. These folks have relied on us for more than 40 years in some cases. And so number one goal was how do we keep everybody afloat? Number two goal was how do we help people on the front lines, the frontline healthcare workers, first responders, and what is now turned into essential workers and businesses, which is sort of that's a whole nother conversation. And the third goal was, gee, maybe this could become a going concern and something we could actually build and grow and make it a part of our TPH family of brands. And so that's sort of how we got on this path.
It's just an incredible story. And there's so many things that are heroic about it. You know, both the support given to what now are the first responders of the country, the people that are dealing with this pandemic every single day. And then, you know, something I wanted to, you know, hit on with you a little bit more is the support that you gave to the people that work for you, that count on you, that, you know, you're working, coming to you, your company every single day is their livelihood. And I'd love for you just to talk about, you know, how, you know, you said that was the number one priority in keeping, you know, keeping those people employed, not furloughing them. Like, one, how did you come to that decision? And secondly, how did you and they go through the shift of doing, I'm sure, what many of them have done for a long time and done it really well in what your business did before COVID, into being effective in a totally different venture?
We tell our employees that we're a family business, but for us, it's not that we're family owned, that we're family focused. We compete in a world where companies can offer tremendous benefits and perks and all this other stuff. And what we offer is, a commitment to work-life balance and a commitment to families. So we tell our employees, you never have to ask permission to be present in your child's life or your family's life. So we have a young man who works for us. He doesn't have any kids, but he lives with his mother, and he doesn't have to ask us permission to be present in his elderly mother's, if she needs to go to the doctor or something like that. We have young parents. So for us, it's the commitment to the family has started from the very beginning with my father and how he started the business and the culture that he helped create. And it's just something that my brother and I have perpetuated. And we feel a significant connection to these folks. They are part of our lives, have been part of our lives in some cases for anywhere from 18 to 44 years. So it's something that you just don't throw that away and say, oh, we're going to do something different. It doesn't work for us that way. That's just not how we're wired.
How has this transition been for them? I'm sure everybody's incredibly grateful that they, you know, still have an opportunity to work for you. But how's the transition been for them in going from producing, you know, retail merchandising, collateral and merchandising pieces to producing face masks? Like how's that evolution been for each one of them?
So there wasn't much of a change in process. The people that we're working with on the face shield side are people we've worked with frequently over the course of the last 20 years. So it wasn't like we found new vendors or had to come up with a new way of doing things, or these are manufacturing processes that we didn't understand or have expertise in. So that was part of our core expertise. What was different was that we were actually building a product and not a product that we were selling as a product and not as a fixture or something that we just drop the fixture off and we go away. We had to think differently about how the consumer was going to use it, what the use was, what the legal implications were. We had to go through and determine if we were FDA compliant. We had to, we did a whole undertaking on the FDA and learned everything there was about face shields. And ultimately we went further into PPE and medical devices and became FDA registered as a importer of PPE for China and other manufacturing countries so that we could bring these goods in and continue with this same mission for different market. The mission is to make it easy to get these products to market when everybody else seems to be struggling. The need is extraordinary. As an example, we do work now with the VA Hospitals of America, and the first VA that we engaged in Long Beach, the medical director, when we sent our first shipment of face shields, sent me a thank you note and said, "You're saving lives." And that was like an aha moment. And that was oxygen to everybody's lungs here, because it gave us a real sense of purpose and it gave everybody a stake in what we were doing. And it's been really empowering for everybody. But the process, the what we do, the how, it draws very much on our core expertise and competence.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, as kind of shifting from talking about your employees to talking a little bit more about your customers, I know you said that there's some overlap where, you know, some retailers have demand for face shields and other PPE products. But how did you go about finding a new group of customers that you didn't really serve before with your own business? And you mentioned this great story at the VA, which there's, you know, very few organizations that have a better mission than the VA does. But have you been able to see beyond the story that you just mentioned, the VA, the impact that you guys have been able to have with other customers?
So we started, the very first call I made was to a friend of mine who is president of Northwestern Hospital here in Lake Forest, Illinois. And I just texted him and said, "Hey, if I make these, would this help you?" And his response was to connect me with the supply chain people of this very large hospital system in Chicago. And from there, it sort of dovetailed. And then I just started reaching out and networking. And really, it was the networking that drove it. And I was predominantly making those calls before I engaged my team, because I wasn't sure what we were doing or how we were doing it. And the healthcare community just jumped on very quickly. And then when we added the disposable masks, we started getting a lot of interest. And so the face shields was one component, then it was disposable masks. It's now going to hand sanitizer and surgical gowns. And it's just taking on a life of its own. And we haven't even had interest from a veterinary practice. We had a multi-location veterinary operation, which I kind of got a kick out of.
So how do you think, hopefully we're not in this world that we find ourselves in today forever. As we get out of, you know, the peak of COVID and the world starts returning to some sense of normalcy, how do you think what you've gone through over the last several months will change your business? How will it change your business going forward?
I definitely think we're a little edgier in terms of our urgency in movement. We have always been very methodical and process driven, and very step by step by step. But what this has done is this has said, you know, you can run through that brick wall and you can get to the other side. It, you might get a few dents along the way. And so one aspect is, we could see the demand for the product across multiple channels. We could see it from healthcare to business to municipal. Every place you turn, there's a demand for this type of product. And so from that standpoint, we're just working the demand. We're following the demand. We're identifying. We've decided how and who we want to sell and what that process looks like. We very quickly put up a web page, website off of our main site and made it e-commerce enabled so that we could transact on smaller quantities as well as larger quantities. And we're trying to, right now we're still finding our way. We don't know where this goes. We don't know what happens after COVID. Our goal is to position ourselves and to continue to build the relationships, the mind share and whatever market share we can get involved in with the same level of service and expertise and attention to detail, and maybe carve out a niche in this marketplace and grow with it and have it to be a contributor to our overall business. And it's so unrelated to the retail side, the course business, that it could really be a smoother of the business cycle curves, which is something which is really attractive to us. And that's something that we've started to talk about. Right now we're just holding on to the mane of the horse and we're just hoping we don't get thrown.
Well, you guys are doing an incredible job, and you know, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing for communities across the country, being able to provide some of the equipment that you're providing, what you're doing for your employees in the community of Chicago is a big deal. And, you know, unfortunately there's a lot of companies who haven't prioritized their business the way that you have. And, you know, as a result, you know, people are looking for jobs. So I just commend you so much in doing what you're doing. One thing, I know you know this because you've been running a really successful business for many, many years and decades. I get the opportunity to talk to a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs, and one common denominator that I see in the most successful companies is how they prioritize the people that work for them and their customers. Those two groups are at the center of everything that they do. And it's been so great to hear how you guys have done that in your business, how it's allowed you to successfully shift your business model, and how it's allowed you to guys to remain successful during I know is a really, really challenging time. So thank you so much for sharing that story.
No, it's our pleasure. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah. So I'm so grateful, David, to you and, you know, for sharing your story, making some time to be able to talk about how you've made all these shifts during what I know has been an incredibly challenging time during COVID-19. And I know there's so many businesses listening that are inspired by these kind of stories, because if there's one thing that COVID has taught us, that we're all going through this together. And, you know, I know a lot of businesses can empathize with exactly what you're going through and are inspired in hearing how you guys have shifted. So please, please, everybody that's listening, find ways to support small businesses. They need us now more than ever. They're the pillars of our community. They're vital in the backbone of our economy. So please find a way to support your local small business. And we'll make sure at T-Mobile we continue to do the same. So David, thank you again so much. It was great chatting with you, and good luck to you guys going forward.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.